Welcome back, everyone. This is the Prepared Mindset Podcast. Thank you guys so much for tuning in to this week's episode and discussion. If you guys aren't subscribed, make sure you hit pause and tap the subscribe button. You guys, that stuff helps us tremendously. And that way you also don't miss out on our weekly discussions, our weekly episodes that are dropped usually every Wednesday, but sometimes it's a Thursday or a Friday. It just depends on scheduling and how it all, you know, shakes out and whatnot. And additionally, we do a monthly sit rep episode too, so you guys won't miss out on those either. But we have an awesome discussion planned this week with Forrest from Checkmate Group. And if you guys aren't familiar with Checkmate, they're based down in Texas. And they're one of these companies that just popped up in the last several years here that is doing great work bringing knowledge and information to civilians, among other things. They also offer security and contracting and consulting, which is fantastic. But I'm really, really happy to be able to touch base with Forrest from Checkmate Group and sit down and talk about, you know, how they got started, what they're doing, what they're about, all that good stuff, because I love seeing their videos and their content online. Honestly, they have a fantastic shoot house that they, you know, they train in and is featured in a lot of what they put out. And I think it's fantastic that we're seeing that become more normal, more commonplace in the community with training companies. Isn't, you know, oh, hey, I can't get into a shoot house. Well, I'm going to build a shoot house. It's not live fire, but you can, you know, teach so much without the live fire component of it. You can still use sim rounds and airsoft and dry fire and everything. Fantastic. So looking forward to sitting down with Forrest, talking about Checkmate Group, talking about training, all that good stuff, and a whole heck of a lot more. You guys, if you're up here in the Midwest with me, hopefully y'all are listening to this nice, warm, and cozy. I know we've had some absolutely horrendous weather the last week. Basically the last week, from Sunday through today, at least the time of this recording. It's Thursday right now. But I know here in Michigan, where we are not supposed to get things like tornadoes, we've had 9 in Michigan. I think Indiana got like 7, somebody at work was telling me. So some horrendous weather, really, really impactful stuff. Up in northern Michigan, there are places where due to the ice storms, they've literally bent over trees and knocked out power, where they're going to be waiting almost a month to get that power restored. I had some people contact me and tell me they were driving, an hour plus, 2 hours in some instances, to get to places that had power to be able to fill up their gas cans to come back and run their generators to keep their houses warm and to keep everything going, because the power's out and they just don't know how long before they're going to be able to get that back up and going. So this preparedness conversation, a lot of it, we talk about the tactical side. A lot of times we skip over the sustainment piece. We skip over, you know, the homestead planning and things like that. It is absolutely critical, you guys, that you are ready for those things. So have a generator, have a backup plan, have multiple contingency plans for where you're going to go to get fuel for all that stuff. And unfortunately for a lot of us, we just, you know, it's too late when we realize that we're in a really, really bad situation. We need to go get things like fuel. We need to have a backup plan to access, it could be clean water, it could be groceries, so many different things. So hopefully everybody is warm and safe and comfortable while you're sitting back checking out this week's edition of The Prepared Mindset. Now, before we get into this week's episode, this edition, if you will, right, we are a sponsored podcast, folks. If you guys didn't know that, you do now. We are blessed to work with some really, really rad companies in the industry that provide not only great products, but they provide great services. And we want to take a moment to talk about them. They make this all possible. This weekly episode that you guys are checking out, that you guys look forward to, is not possible without those partners in the community, in the industry, providing the support to us. So with that, I want to start by saying thank you to our very good friends, the whole crew at Custom Night Vision. That's Kevin, that's Trevor, that's Ben. You guys can head on over to CustomNightVision.com. That's their website. And right there, right from the rip on the homepage, you can pick monocular builder or binocular builder. Apparently that was very confusing. They put out a great video on it. But you can build whatever night vision unit you want. They even still have some L3 tubes. You guys listened to last week's discussion. They still have tubes from L3 in stock, a good amount of them too. So for the foreseeable future, you know, this calendar year at least, right, you're going to be able to get access to L3 tubes if that's the flavor of night vision that you've really, really wanted to get into. Whether that's a single tube like a PVS-14 or the MH-14 device from Lowlight Innovations, Or maybe you want something binocular. You can, you know, swing once and, you know, buy once, cry once, that whole thing. And you can get into something like the MH1 from Lowlight, or they have offerings from Nocturne, like the Molded Katana. They have the RNVGs and RNVG Alphas from AB Night Vision, and DTNVSs from Acton Black. All kinds of great, great options available on the website. Again, it's customnightvision.com. Let them know that Austin at Prepared Mindset sent you. They're going to take fantastic care of you. In fact, one of their mission goals is to provide the most transparent buying experience possible to their customers. I was a customer of theirs before we started working together. I actually got my very first aiming laser through them. It was a Steiner D-Ball A3, and guys, guess what? They still have those. They still stock the Steiner devices, the A3, the D2, and more. So whether that's a mall from B.E. Myers or whatever you're looking for, chances are, if you need it, Custom has it. They are a absolute, without a doubt, one-stop shop for all things night vision. You can go from nothing to a full setup if you have the funds, of course, all on the Custom website. They stock Team Wendy helmets, whether it's bump or ballistic. They stock lasers, like I was talking about a moment ago. They stock lights, all kinds of good stuff, you guys. Again, it's customnightvision.com. Head over to the site today and check it all out for yourself and pick yourself up some night vision today. Also want to say a very big thank you to the team at Orion Training Group, you guys. Their website is oriontraininggroup.com, and they have a fantastic cadre of instructors available for whatever you guys are looking to learn. I think that's what makes them one of the most popular, I would dare even say premier training companies available in the market today, is that they have a great cadre that is skilled in a broad swath, right, of different skill sets, different topics. So whatever you're looking to learn, whether it's small unit tactics, it's structure clearance, it could be radios, it could be medical skills, it could be just flat range shooting or CQB shooting or long distance sniper applications, things like that. Orion has a huge cadre of very talented instructors like Blake, like Alex, Jared, Jason, Lindsay, Josh, Dylan. I mean, the list goes on. Joe, right? Many of whom have been on this podcast. If you guys are looking to learn some really, really great skills from some very talented and passionate teachers, head over to oriontraininggroup.com. You can check out their entire course calendar there, including the class coming up here in Michigan in Westland at Battlefield CQB next month in May. And finally here, last but certainly not least, my friends over at 100 Concepts, you guys. I actually just had a fantastic conversation yesterday with Jonah, one of the owners at OHC. Fantastic bunch of guys there, really doing strong work to bring solutions like their light caps, like their scope caps, scrim, chem light kits, all kinds of good stuff to you guys. The company's motto is do good, be dangerous, and live free. Head over to 100concepts.com to check out all the solutions they have available for folks just like you and I who want to be better prepared, more capable out in the field. They even stock now EOTech optics and Surefire lights. So whether you're looking for a scout light or a dual fuel with their Pro Mount, they have those. And if you purchase through them, you get the light cap free with the flashlight. If you purchase the EOTech through them, you get their anti-reflective device, free with that purchase. Again, it's 100concepts.com. Head over to the website and check it out. Look at it for yourself, you guys. A bunch of good options on there and tremendous, tremendous quality for what you're getting. So thank you to all of our partners that make this possible. Seriously, guys, it's really cool. Those are some really awesome names in the industry. And it's for a good reason, because they make great products. They offer great services. They're fantastic humans. I have personal relationships with every one of those folks or companies, teams, whatever have you, right? And super proud to work with all of them. Can't recommend them enough. Now, getting back to this week's discussion, I am sitting down again with Forrest from Checkmate Group. If you guys have been listening to the podcast for any length of time, you know that CQB is something that I really have an interest in. I dare even say a passion for it. Taking multiple classes, got another one coming up with Orion Training Group, and love seeing that there's more companies out there that's taking that knowledge, that skill set, which I think is tremendously important, and sharing it with folks, whether you're in law enforcement or military, whatever have you, or you're a civilian, they are sharing that knowledge and teaching those lessons that they learned with those of us that also want that knowledge. They also want to know those lessons. I think it's awesome. You know, there's more and more companies that are finally opening that door and branching out into that. And I love seeing it. It's why I reached out. It's, you know, I saw their stuff on Instagram and following them for a while and go, hey, I really want to hear about this. I want to hear about that shoot house that they built for themselves that they're able to train in and what they got going on there. So I think if you're one of those people that has questions about, hey, how can I get access to better training? How can I go about getting a better training experience? This is going to be a great discussion for you guys. I think you're really, really going to dig it. I know I've been looking forward to it since I was able to connect with Forrest and get this one on the books. We even had to do a little bit of a schedule reshuffle here because he was feeling under the weather. So happy that he's back on the mend and we're able to catch up, sit down on this one and have a fantastic conversation. It's hopefully going to be of great value and great interest to all of you out there. And with that, let's just get into it. Welcome to the podcast, man. How you doing?
Thanks, brother. I really appreciate you having us on. And yeah, doing well. It's a beautiful night here in Texas. It's been raining all day, but it's kind of tapered off. So turned into a pretty nice day.
It can't be as bad as it is up here in Michigan. I mean, right now it's okay. We had, I mentioned it a minute ago in the introduction, but we had like 9 tornadoes in the last like 4 days. And
I heard about those. Yep.
Yeah, an ice storm in the upper part of the state where people have lost power for it's multiple weeks before they'll get it back and stuff. So, you know, I have family down in the Houston area, and the last time I was down there, I'm like, you know, man, I could probably move here. I could deal with this. Like this is pretty nice. You know, I'd never Houston, see snow again.
Houston is a different animal, man. It's one of the, I think probably the least desirable cities in Texas. But
oh, really?
Yeah, just because it's so busy and so big, and there's a lot That's of, true. I don't know, bad, dangerous areas down in Houston. But I mean, it's funny, we've got kind of stereotypical, I guess, characteristics to every single city here in Texas. So,
yeah, I mean, driving through Houston, we're going to some like cider bar and arcade or something, right? And, you know, typical tourist shit. And like, we're driving through like a rough area by where the Astros play, and some homeless looking dude walks out in the middle of the street to like a manhole to pick up like a quarter or something. I go, oh, okay, this is familiar. This feels just like Detroit. Like I feel at home here. This is fantastic.
Yeah. And a while back when, what was it? When New Orleans got hit by the hurricane, most of the folks from New Orleans actually came to Houston and San Antonio. So like a lot of the people that were homeless or, you know, fleeing, they ended up there. So there was a big homeless, I guess, population that moved into South Texas around that time. So
nice big transplant of not exactly the best element. I mean, it sucks losing your home and everything. I'm not trying to judge, but yeah, not exactly the influx of people that you're looking for there.
Yeah. Not stellar citizens for sure.
Right.
Some of them might be, not on it.
But let's get into you, man. Let's talk about what you guys are doing with Checkmate Group. Can you introduce yourself? And talk a little bit, maybe if you can, about Checkmate and kind of what's going on.
Yeah. So my background, I've got a few businesses, mainly surrounding the construction, blue collar markets, and then kind of the outdoor adventure spaces, aside from Checkmate. And so I've had those for, we're going on 6 years this year. A lot of the media space, a lot of consulting, some product development, things like that, on those areas. And then Checkmate, became a partner in Checkmate a little over a year and a half ago. The team was 3 people, and then I kind of joined in there with them, help out the media, the marketing, and then obviously just loving the tactical side. So been in the tactical space for probably 5, 6, 7 years, like heavy, and been around kind of the survival outdoor space for my whole life. So grew up in a small town in Florida, kind of the middle of the swamp. So between wrestling gators and shooting hogs, our pastimes really didn't, you know, consist of anything except for, you know, living outdoors. So grew up doing that and then kind of moved into those areas, you know, as I was older. But background in just being an entrepreneur and then just trying to chase the Checkmate stuff. So
is that just something people like you say, like, or did you actually wrestle gators?
Yeah.
Like,
no, that's something Florida folks definitely wrestle gators, and people from Louisiana probably understand that as well. It's a common occurrence down there. Yeah,
So large and or poisonous reptiles are actually one of the reasons why I love living here in Michigan. In addition to the typically, right, the aversion to things like tornadoes. I'm like, winter up here kind of, sucks balls most of the time. It's not the best. But I will deal with that if it means I don't have to deal with, something small trying to bite and kill me. And that is just wild to me. I don't know that I would. I mean, I guess you're growing up with it, it's different, right? So it's
Yeah, I
easier for
mean,
me on the outside.
there's poisonous snakes everywhere, down in Florida. And I mean, I've sat right next to like rattlesnakes, and you can't see them. They don't make noise. And like you sit down and you're like, I remember I was out hunting one time and I'd walked probably 10 miles back in the middle of the swamp. And this was, forget what part of Florida this was, but Central Florida somewhere. And I, set my rifle up against the tree, and then I took a seat and I went to go grab my rifle again, and I saw that like the buttstock was laying right next to like a curled up rattlesnake. And I
Jesus,
didn't,
nope.
and I was like, man, I gotta look better next time. But he didn't make a noise, nothing. He was just looking at me, and I decided I'm too far out to even call for help. There's no cell service. I'm just gonna leave this specific spot. A little bit of a heart
Yeah.
race. Yeah.
Did you get the rifle, or did you just write it off and
Oh
leave it?
yeah. No. I just slowly grabbed the rifle again and got up and left, and he didn't bother me at all. It was funny.
Nope. No, it's not.
Yeah.
That's not for me. I know that for sure. I mean, I can deal with some stuff, but yeah, it's one of those irrational fears. I remember when I was like, second grade, we had a girl whose dad was into all that stuff and brought in like tarantulas and snakes. I'm like, oh, you want to hold it? And I think I may have had my first anxiety attack of my life. I was like, no, get that thing
Yeah,
away from
see,
me.
I'm not a fan of spiders at all. I mean, there are lots of spiders down there too, but not a fan of spiders. So,
Yeah, no,
yeah.
I'm with you on that one, but, yeah, so anyway, with Checkmate,
Yeah.
I know things have kind of in the last, I want to say it's like the last year or two,
Yeah.
have really kind of taken off in a way that has made it more visible. I know I saw your guys' stuff on social media, which is how I found the company, and I think it's awesome what you guys are doing in terms of like the training piece of it, the knowledge share. I get grief for this. I don't care. I really like the whole CQB side of things. So learning it, getting exposed to different pieces of it and stuff. And you guys do a lot of that. So with the
Yeah.
shoot house that you've been able to build, and then obviously I'm sure there's classes and training and things like that that come along with the cadre and stuff. So how did you did that all kind of come together?
Yeah, so I'll kind of take you through the history of Checkmate. The Checkmate first was founded with three members, a guy from the Marines, well, actually two guys from the Marines, one guy from the Army. One was a sniper in the Marines, went to some, GRS contracts, on that side of things. The other guys were in the military for, I don't know how long. I'd have to ask them. But basically a group of friends got together after, Allen Outlet, shooting here in Texas, which is just down the road from us. And said, there's a lot of people who could have responded in this scenario that, not that it's bad or indifferent either way, but just didn't, right? Like there's tons of dash cams of people that have vehicles that could have used those vehicles. There's plenty of people there that were armed. It's Texas after all. Nobody knew how to maneuver around buildings. Nobody knew how to be safe about that. So they just stayed where they were. And so those three guys got together and said, we've got to do something to prepare one civilians, but law enforcement as well, a little bit better in these situations. And that was kind of the brain behind, hey, we've got to build a shoot house that's a home layout that we can navigate and train people. This is the basics of how you navigate, a structure. So that's kind of how Checkmate started as a training company to go tackle that problem, in this area. And from there, it kind of escalated. So I got introduced to one of the owners and just fell in love with the company, and then just started pouring some resources and time and effort into the company. And then they asked if I wanted to partner with them, and so I came on as the fourth partner. One of the partners since then has stepped aside. He's going law enforcement background, or he's going law enforcement. So he's like, hey, I can't, I don't have the time to tackle into this anymore. So it's three of us in there right now that are partnered in Checkmate, and it's really changed over the last year or two into not only training but also security, contracting and consulting. So we do heavy training. The CQB side is a heavy portion of it, but we do a lot of firearms, tactics, things like that out in the field as well. Fitness is obviously a huge portion of it. We all want to make sure that we're in the right, I guess, physical abilities to be able to do any kind of, reaction,
Right.
job description that we need to. So that's really important. So we're always harping on that stuff. So we've kind of vertically integrated the company in that manner where we're not only doing training, but we're putting these different divisions of work into practice and trying to build them from the inside out. So the company's not huge. We're still all working our other jobs. Like we've all got multiple companies on the side as well. So the partners are operating those companies while we're trying to do this. So Checkmate is one of our primary companies that we run, but right now we're trying to scale that business. So we're kind of in the early development of the company, just building the right relationships and trying to be more transformational rather than transactional with people is a huge portion of what we do. So that's kind of a brief background of like where it started, where it is now, kind of what we see for the future.
Yeah, and it's I mean, as much as I'm sure it sucked to lose one guy, I actually respect the hell out of the decision to like prioritize time and energy and just like, I think especially in small business, like I come from a family where my mother owned a restaurant for like 25 years, right?
That's awesome.
And it was not it was
No, you
not
didn't make
cops.
it.
I mean, I love the food. I was very proud of it, proud of my mother for all the work and everything and all that stuff. But like what people don't realize when, you eat from a 10,000 foot view, right? You can like you stepped away from that. Just like you could just be a silent partner. And it's like, well, it's never that easy. Cause then you gotta think
Yeah,
about what's going on
no.
with everybody else, their feelings. Is it fair to them?
That's
Some
right.
businesses. Some businesses you literally can't. I know with like certain states and liquor licenses and all kinds of others, like you can't be a silent partner. But like there's just a quality of life piece there where you have to sit back and go, it'd be great, and maybe I can come back in, a couple of years or whatever.
Well, and
But
he was been he man, we yeah, we definitely hated to, see him step down because we love him like a brother. But he was in a different season of his life, and he's chasing a passion, right? And he's one of those guys that he wants to be serving in a high capacity. And he wanted to move into the law enforcement background. And that was amazing. We were like, we can't support you more, bro. Like, absolutely. So we really hated to see him step out, but it was one of those things that's like, okay, cool. Yeah, exactly like you said, we can still keep you as a part, in this as and he's still a crucial element to our team. So
It's cool because I mean it just sets you guys like both sides right up for future success. Just go be successful, and I think that kind of attitude, especially in this community, is needed more instead of being very. I mean, I don't want to like just bitch about the industry, right? But like it's very self-serving. Anybody with the internet sees that, and it's very competitive in a lot of different ways. So there's like definitely could have been a worse way that could have gone. But I know right now more than ever we need good dedicated folks in law enforcement all over the
Oh,
country. So
100%.
that's
Yeah, I
a
think
huge plus.
that's one area that, like, obviously, the world through the, BLM riots and things like that, everybody was trying to, defund the police and stuff like that. And why would anybody want to join, the police, academy if they know as soon as they get out, they have a chance of going to prison for the rest of their life for making the right call? There's plenty of bad calls out there. We see them all the time, but there's a lot of right calls, and then you get in, a terrible situation in law, and it's that heavy weight, right, that you have to weigh before you go down that path is like, do I really want to put myself in that position? And I think that's the tide is turning. Obviously, we've got new officials in office.
Yeah, I
Everybody's
think
happy
so.
about that. Tide is kind of changing. We're putting more money into that. We're still going to protect those guys more, I think. And I'm hoping to see more folks get into law enforcement now that they hopefully feel a little more protected.
Yeah, I think the empowerment piece behind, and not I don't mean like the maybe that's the empowerment's probably the wrong word when we're talking about law enforcement, but I guess the confidence, the maybe restoring some of the confidence that you're going to have a certain degree of protection, right? Because,
Brilliant.
it's easy to look at it and say, well, they sh you should have done X, Y, Z, But that's typically from people who've never gone through it. They've
That's
never, or
right.
never even gone through something like a training course, right? So, going through something like a CQB class, or whether it's, solo or duo is even worse, right? Why did this happen? It's like, well, do you understand what's going on? Have you ever had to try and solve that problem yourself, even if it's simulated? It's not as cut and dry as people would think. And if your level of training is not to the level which it probably should be, right? I mean, budget cuts, whatever, or maybe, some people just aren't into it that way, which, I mean, I think they should be. You don't know. Like, you go experience it for yourself, and then you'll probably feel a hell of a lot differently. Now, wrong is wrong and right is right, but once you experience it, it gives you a whole different perspective. And I think that's why it's really important to have companies like what you guys are doing, check with Checkmate, out there to teach not only civilians, law enforcement, and bring that kind of knowledge forward, and help with that. Because I think there's, unfortunately, right, a pretty ingrained culture in every state of poor training, and it's
Absolutely.
something that desperately needs to be addressed and fixed. It's
Yeah.
it, states are better than others. I know Texas, you guys are more squared away than a lot of us.
Yeah.
You
You'd be
know.
surprised, man. Even in some of the more conservative areas, right? There's a thousand different factors that play into law enforcement, agencies, and their training with their department. There's budget. Is the leadership on board? Is the demographic? Who's the DA in the area? Who's the our partnering agencies, like, are these people supporters of law enforcement? In some cases, they're not, right? And so there's tons of different reasons why agencies don't do training. There's very few reasons why agencies do training. And that's kind of the biggest problem is everybody knows you need more training. You need to expose your officers to stress. You need to expose them to a high standard of fitness. And you need to find those weak points and break them so that they know where those weak points are and can be broken. That's the only way that you can really excel in training is tearing down the boundaries that you've placed for yourself. Everybody thinks they're a better shot. Everybody thinks they're a better better at CQB than they really are, right? Once you start like implementing certain threats into the situation, it breaks it all down, and they're wide open to, oh, I almost died right there, or I could have died right there. And it wide open, their eyes go wide open, and they figure out, man, if that was a real life scenario, like, I wouldn't
Could
be
have been
here
a
anymore.
lot different.
Yeah. And you just putting the reality of it on, especially for law enforcement, man, it's your job day in and day out, and your family expects you to come home at the end of the day and tuck them in, right? And nobody is going to do that better than yourself. So, like, even if the agencies aren't funding it, we've had multiple law enforcement officers come to us with our facility and say, hey, me and a couple of the buddies on the department want to come in and have a membership here so that we can train on a regular basis and walk through that, get more training with you guys. And so we offer that as well. And that's the thing. We're trying to work with more law enforcement agencies, but in some cases it's just like either the leadership doesn't think they need outside training, or there's some other underlying issue. So
Yeah, I just had that conversation with a buddy here who's because we have Orion Training Group coming back
yeah,
up here to Michigan for the second year,
nice, love
and
those guys.
they're fantastic. Jared and Jason are super nice guys, but also really talented teachers.
I
And
actually
I
don't watch them at all for their tactics. I just watch it for the comedic relief.
have you ever been through one of the classes? Because
I've wanted to really bad. I've wanted.
it's worse, better or worse.
I'm
It's
sure
an
they're. I'm
experience.
sure they open it up a lot. Yeah, a lot more than what they would say. We're pretty wide open too. We're not politically correct at all.
I mean, that's half the fun. Honestly, I tell people that. I'm like, you will experience a new level of like unhinged in some of these classes, and it's worth it. Like, I kind of think that's what I mean, part of the experience, right? Like, if that
Absolutely.
doesn't happen, you might be missing out. I was talking with a buddy trying to get him in that class. Like, hey, talk to your department. Like, see, it's only 2 days. Like, so the cost was a little bit lower. Like, see if you can sign up. And oh no, yeah, they're just being stingy right now. I can't make it. And it's like, I mean, that sucks because then obviously I'm not going to get to see him in class. But at the same time, like, I was like, all right, so what do you guys been doing for training? Like, oh yeah, there's this company that of and I love this when it's old retired cops get together and create this training company so that the same agencies that they were part of have uniform training across the county. And I'm like, okay, not that I have anything against anybody retiring and starting a training company. But there's also to a degree, unless they're, and they may be doing their due diligence. I don't want to throw a ton of shade. I know we have issues up here with the quality of training and instruction. I know that. I've heard that from multiple people that I trust. as well as, like, I just saw a clip today of like a SWAT team doing a surrounding call out, trying to rip off a front door. And the dude literally just drives out his driveway with his Jeep. Like, oh, good job, guys. Like, Detroit SWAT at its absolute finest. We have issues. And then that incestuous passing of information with, and I'm not saying like you have to go do what adopt what the military is doing. Like, oh, hey, you learned from you guys. You see, you have a couple of Marines that are involved, or somebody who was former Army, right? Not saying that just getting military personnel involved is the answer in and of itself, but
Correct,
be
yeah.
open to outside perspective, be open to those different ideas, or hey, we train this and teach it this way, whatever. It could be something with CQB, like how you guys do thresholds or something. It could be anything, right? Outside perspective, the worst thing in the training environment as a whole, whether it's flat range, CQB, small unit tactics, precision shooting, whatever, is just being stagnant. And law enforcement gets all of that grief, I think, because they are, for better or for worse, mostly for worse, the largest perpetrator of that. They don't want to change because change costs money.
We've got a lot of people that'll come in and be like, oh, well, we do it the Ranger Doctrine. That's all we do. Like,
The
okay,
what?
cool. Yeah, exactly. Whatever doctrine you've got, that's what we do. We do this and we do that. And it's great. We've got the first rule in our shoot house on the board is like, check your ego. So like when you come in, like this is an open table kind of discussion, right? Like we open up every CQB course with the intro of like, hey, look, we are opening up our toolbox to you. You're going to be adding tools to your toolbox as we talk about what we're doing today. If you have something based off your experience that might work in a certain scenario, throw that toolbox or throw that tool in our toolbox. Like, open it up, talk about it. Let's have that discussion. The what ifs, right? There's plenty of what ifs. There's a million ways to do CQB. There's a million ways to do tactics, and it's going to be dictated off different scenarios. So there's no one way to do this. There's a lot of people on the internet that, I'm, 25 years in the military over here, and I've been in law enforcement for my whole life, in this area and stuff like that, that will try to say this is the way, and there's no one set way to do it. There's just not. So we try to open it up with that is, put your ego aside. Let's all have an open discussion. And like, one of our owners, he was doing a training a while back with one of the departments in our surrounding area. And one of the ladies there was asking about stairs, like how do we process the stairs? And so we went over the stairs and he processed the stairs and with her. And she had certain questions in a scenario that, she had done or been a part of, a month back. And she was like, it just didn't sit well. I didn't have a tactic in mind or
Yeah,
didn't know how
sure.
to work through this at the moment. Like, how would you approach this? And he just talked her through it. So it's those certain things when you get in those courses where they're like, hey, I have this experience and I don't know what the right way of processing that is. What do you guys say? And we'll walk through it. It's not
Yeah.
like our way is the correct way. It's just a way, right?
No, 100%. And I think that good teachers, good instructors welcome all of that input and feedback. Like, yeah, hey, if you know another way, not saying it's better or worse, like show me, tell me what you're talking about, and okay, cool. And hey, maybe they adopt that. Hey, that's interesting. Like, let's talk more on break or something. You guys can talk to me about that, especially if it's, somebody who's active in the LE space. But I think one of the biggest misconceptions people can have, especially if you are active, is just because you survived it once does not of and of itself make that a sound tactic. It could just mean that your opposition was a fucking retard.
There's a
And
lot of chance in this game, and people don't like to admit that. They don't like to admit that, like, hey, things do happen by accident. but I mean, there's plenty of stories out there where guys are walking into a room and bullets are flying, and they look at the wall behind them, it's like littered with bullets. It's like, how did I not get hit? Because the chance just did not, it didn't take you today. You know, like it would have any other day or anybody else. If you were, you know, a foot taller and, you know, a couple inches wider, you might have hit that, you know, taken that hit. So there's a lot of chance that's involved, unfortunately. And just like you
It's
said, that, yeah.
the danger of the occupation. You know, no one said it was going to be, or said it's going to be easy. Just like if, as a prepared civilian, you know, or a concerned citizen, active shooter events being what they are and everything, if you're able, capable, willing to respond in that moment, I mean, it is what it is. There, and it's part of what makes some of these you know, internet discussions and things, the rants and the ravings and everything, right, so frustrating, is because people speak so matter-of-factly about it, and it's like you could do everything right and still end up dead or being shot or whatever. You know, any number of things could happen. There's a lot of variables at play. It's almost, I
Fighting
mean,
isn't fair, right? Like, especially in these scenarios, it's like there's no fair fight. You know, you want to bring the best tools and have, you know, the biggest stick, sure, but like that's not going to be the case every time. And yeah, I agree. There's a lot of people out there that are like, if I do everything perfect, if I have all the right gear, if I can, you know, have the right optics, it's like, dude, none of that matters. It matters like how you personally can process. And that's the thing, man. You could like we've had plenty of guys that are like should be studs, and probably are developing into those, right? But they just don't have, there is a mindset to this, right? There's not, some people have a natural mindset, and others just aren't wired for it. And I'm not saying you can't start to wire that into an individual, but there's individuals that are bred, you know, from birth, have a certain, and I'm not saying they're perfect, but have a certain way about them that gives them a skill set or a natural ability, like in this field. And we can't discount that either, you know. And then there's plenty of people that don't have that, that are in the in law enforcement and in military and things like that, that don't have those natural abilities, but can learn how to operate regardless. So there's so many different factors. And I think it's funny because, you know, you watch these guys online, they watch a video and they start harping on it, and it's like, what are you talking about, dude? Like, that's a video. You have no idea what they even said was the situation. You have no idea what the prep talk was. You don't know what their goals are. There's no like open
Zero
dialogue.
context.
Yeah,
There's
zero context, and you're just
and
going into it blind.
you
So.
can and you know, I get it, 'cause some guys are like, oh, context is the great crutch that people hide behind. And sometimes I'm like, yeah, you know, I get what you're saying. But a lot of the times I'm like, well, if it's a video of students and you know, and you're gonna sit there and you're gonna pick
Precisely.
it apart, like
Well, even professionals, right? Like, if you're a professional and you put a video out of you training, you're still training, right? Like,
yeah.
no professional should come out there and say, "Hey, I did that. I do everything perfect," right? You know, we're always students first. Like, there's not a time where we're gonna come into a course or go into a training or, you know, go like, you know, train with other people in a training scenario where we go, "Hey, we're the best," right? There's you operate with different people. You know, there's different scenarios. You're not going to do everything exactly right. And yeah, when you put out a video, you know, it may look really good. Not everything's going to be right. And then you see people, you know, shred stuff. So it is funny and humorous, but.
It's that double-edged sword too, because then you get like some of these hype videos, right, that are really well edited and they got the good music and the lighting and it's just, you know, completely on point, right? And it's like, well, you don't know how staged that was. I mean, that could have been like five runs that are all just, you know, like meshed together into one video. And guys are like, oh yeah, dude, these guys crush it. And it's like, yeah, I mean, it looks that way, sure. I mean, and I'm still gonna double tap. I'm still gonna like it. I'm still gonna come back a couple days later for more. You know what I mean? Doesn't mean it's not entertaining, but I'm not gonna sit there and say, like, based off of that alone, that I would trust any of those people more than the next guy. I mean, get out there and get after it, right? And that's regardless of who you are and what your background is. That's what I think is so awesome, that we have so many civilians, right? People who don't have that. I mean, because it takes all kinds to make the world go around. Like, not everybody can be a police officer. Not everybody's going to go into the military, you know, whatever branch that may be.
Well, and
But I
there's,
think, you know, it says a lot that people want to learn those things and still, you know, help the world turn by working in places like construction or finance or, you know, any other number of occupations.
well, and that's you bring up a good point, because, like, man, we all thank our law enforcement and military all the time. They're the backbone of America, right? Like keeping law and order in place and protecting our country is one of the best ways you can serve. There are
Absolutely.
plenty of ways out there to serve other than those areas. And I'm not discouraging anybody to not serve in those areas, but like you said, right? There's people that go, I don't really want to be in law enforcement. I don't really want to go this route or that route. And there's, I feel like they go, okay, well, I just can't serve. And it's like, no, your community has some way for you to serve in one capacity or the other. If this is like in the realm of areas that you want to be in your life, go find it, right? There's tons of ways to go serve your fellow human. And I think that's a key aspect to it, as well. And, getting back to the theatrics of, videos and things like that, there's in the marketing, we say there's three ways that you should be putting stuff out online, right? You should be educating, entertaining, or inspiring. In those three ways, there's obviously going to be theatrics involved with, entertaining and inspiring. The education portion too. Like there's always going to be those moments where you're like, hey, let's set up this scenario and film it, take two, take three, whatever it is, and make it look,
Right.
cinematic. And people will harp on the cinematic footage too and be like, oh, I hate that stuff. It's like, okay, well, then it's not for you, don't watch it.
It serves a purpose to draw people in and build interest. And I think when you look at the greater goal that I think a lot of folks have, right? So, in making folks better prepared, more sustaining, right? They rely less on our first responders, right? Like, I mean, let's just be call it what it is. The system is taxed, right? Response times are still not as good as we would like them. There's limited resources, whether that's manpower or whatever else. So having people that can be capable and stand on their own in times of emergency, and that doesn't have to be an active shooter every time, right? It could be any number of things, is only going to make us better as a society and a community.
I would even go further to say it's your obligation as an American, right? Like there are plenty of people that don't have the skill set to carry a gun. Don't carry a gun. But it is like as an American, it's an obligation that you learn that, right? It's bred in
I
our
mean,
foundation. And same thing with medical and same thing with just preparing in every other aspect, right? How many times are you driving on the road? You see an accident, right? Are you prepared if that person has, a cut artery? Are you prepared if that person has cuts and bruises? Like, these are just things that the country used to know back in the day. We've gotten away from it because life has gotten so easy and so comfortable. And people are comfortable. I think that's one of the biggest things to why we train is it's like, hey, we need to take you out of that comfortability stage of your life and show you some like real situations that you could be in, and they see them too. We have people that come to us that go, man, I saw this thing happen, or I got into this situation and that dawned on me. I need to train more often. And I'm like, yeah, but why does it take, death, pain, or, hurt for them to come to that realization? This is all something that we're obligated to figure out regardless of that. I mean, even your kids, right? Like we harp on it a lot. Like all of us are dads in Checkmate, and all of our kids, we're teaching them medical, we're teaching them all this stuff as well, and it's important to just build that up. I think people have lost, it's a lost art of just being prepared, right? And like your podcast, right? Prepared mindset, like be prepared, right? There's j you just have to be prepared. There, and you'll
Yeah, I
never
mean,
be prepared enough, but that's the
I
whole
was just gonna
purpose.
say, yeah, you never cover everything, but you can really cut that list down with, some basic things. And it doesn't always have to revolve around a firearm. I mean, just last night we have a guy in our training group who's very gifted in like radios and communications and things like that. And she like got a hold of me. He's like, hey, can you go ahead and test your ATAK on your phone? I was like, I mean, I don't know. What does this involve? And he's like, oh yeah, here, he put screenshots in our Discord, and it was the simplest thing in the world. I'm like, either he's really smart or I'm really fucking dumb or somewhere in the middle. But like, oh yeah, here, just install this app, sets up a VPN, here's the code, enter that in, turn it on. Okay, here you go. I'm gonna send you a test message. I'm like, 10 minutes. And I'm like, dude, this is incredible. You know what I mean? And that has nothing to do with the firearm. But in times where you need stuff like that, it's like, dude, you are a tremendous asset to your community, whether that's your community, like your training group, or like literally your community if a tornado rolls through, and traditional communications are, overwhelmed, overloaded. Cool. You know how to make radios work and alternative means of communication and stuff like that.
You
Like,
just
that's
had
incredible.
the ice storm come through your area, right? Or up in the northern part, like that's a perfect scenario, right? How do you, and especially if you can communicate or relay that to first responders, that's awesome, and
That's critical information for them.
that's an area I'm not savvy about. I have ATAC and I can look at it and have it, operate it a little bit, but I'm not a pro at all. I'm not a
No,
pro
me
at
neither.
comms. Right, those are it. Like it's like the trades for me. Like I'm not an electrician or an HVAC guy. Like those are out of my like. I don't. They're not my favorite things to mess with. You start giving me wires or comms, I'm not gonna do very well. So,
Yeah,
yeah.
it's overlooked. Everybody's always looking for that guy in their training group, and it's extremely valuable to even like have that set up. But if you know how to build it from scratch, it's like that's a huge value. And and it plays into all the other stuff, but when we have that greater conversation, one of my favorite things that people usually want to like pull out when I either mention that I do the podcast or have conversations casually and socially, about training and preparedness. Well, why would you ever need to do that? And it's like, dude, look
Dude,
around. Like, why would you not want to at least have that as an option?
I always hate when people say, "Why would I need that?" or "Why would you want to do that?" It's like, why would you not, right? Why is your mindset so set on why would you do something extra? Like, we should always be looking for ways that we can go above and beyond the standard. And a lot of people are failing at just the standard, right? And it's so interesting to me. I was doing the same thing, right? Like, I was on a job site a while back with a client, and I asked a few of the guys there. I was like, "Do you guys carry tourniquets here?" And they're like, "Why would we ever need a tourniquet? We're not going to buy tourniquets." And I'm like, "You're retarded. Like, we've been on plenty of job sites that like the guys needed a tourniquet." And it's like, I carry the snake staff systems.
Yep, same one, the EDC tourniquet, yeah.
So small, so good. Like, it's cheap and it's affordable, and it fits in the back pocket or in a fanny pack or whatever. And just having it, knowing it, is a little bit of peace of mind, and knowing how to use it,
Yeah, is that stuff you guys are, do you offer that as class, like medical and stuff like that? I think that's, and for whatever reason, it is hard to get that, like firearm stuff I get, right? Because you want people running around like an office building doing CQB clearing and stuff. Like, I get that there's apprehensiveness there. There's an insurance component, but I was surprised the more people I talk to in the medical space, they go, we can't find locations to host classes. Like, senior centers don't want us in there because they find out we're attached to a firearms training company, assume that it's a bad look and stuff.
We normally try to implement it as part. Well, like if we do a CQB course, we're not going to like dive too heavy in medical, but like we'll always suggest these things as add-on courses or things like that. Medical is one of the most important, obviously. If you're planning on getting yourself out of a bad situation, a threat is there, you're going to need to know medical. There's plenty of videos. There was one from down here in Houston, right? That the guy, one of the officers, got shot in the arm and ran over to a truck driver and said, "Hey, help me with this," right? And he's like trying to get this truck driver to help him with the tourniquet. So that, yeah, we try to get as many civilians as possible through medical courses. We've got a few guys on as like instructors that are like former Army, and then like EMS, EMT,
Yeah.
medical certified folks. So.
Yeah, it's super helpful stuff, and like Stop the Bleed certification it's actually more common than I think a lot of people realize. It's just not, sometimes you have to look outside the tactical space to find it, but like that's part of the problem too, is that people are only sometimes looking at a very narrow scope. But like, get that, and like, just get the information however you can, and then bring it back to your friends. Like, share it with them, or even better, just get them to take the damn class with you. Like, the number of folks that I've been with, that they want to come out to the range, they want to do stuff, but they don't want to spend money on training. Oh, that's like $500, dude. I'm like, well, okay, when you go to work, do you want to make, $500 for a 2-day CQB class, right? Because I think that's what the OTG class costs, right? Like, do you think that your time, like, you do some quick math and you're like, do you think your time's worth this? Like, well, so is theirs. So what's the, and you're walking away with a lot. They'll let you take video, let you take notes, and I'm sure you guys do too with that stuff. Like, by all means, take as much away as you can, because the goal here isn't just to make money, it's to help. It's to make people better prepared
Yep.
and leave that mark, and then hopefully they want more. Like they'll come back for round
They
two.
always do.
Because,
Yeah, if you get
yeah.
the, bit by it, it's something that you're coming back for. So
And that's, yeah, I mean, this will be my fourth CQB course with Orion. I need to diversify a little bit and branch out. And, I've done firearms training and stuff. You guys get a lot of repeat customer or return members, things like that.
yeah, so like for a while, since we all operate our own businesses as well, and businesses are growing and expanding and things like that, we've gone away from like putting classes online and saying, hey, we've got this course, come sign up, and we've gotten more into like our memberships. So like the Shoot House is kind of its own division of the company, I guess you could say, and eventually that will work into like potentially its own business. And the grander vision behind like this, the Shoot House, is that we'll have one in every major city of the US. And so we're basing
That'd be
those off
awesome.
of, no, yeah, and that's the goal. That's our long-term vision, is that we'll have Checkmate facilities across the whole US, with the exception of some like very blue states that we don't want to open up businesses in and have those liabilities. But regardless of those, most cities we want to have a facility in, and we're opening those up to memberships. And right now we're testing the waters, right? We're figuring out what works, what doesn't work with members. We've got, solo memberships, we've got team memberships, squad memberships, we've got instructor memberships, where like if it's one instructor and he's going to be bringing people in, they can pay for that membership as well every month, and basically just building up a roster of really good quality dudes and people, right? There's, some ladies that are badass ladies, that, are also tied to some of these groups. So we're trying to figure out a way to be able to vet people, make sure that everybody's safe, and we've gotten a pretty good way of doing that at this point. And so we've offered the memberships, which tends to be a faster way for people to be able to learn and add value in this area to each other. We're out there training with our members all the time, and it's just growing. So we're excited to move into other cities and start expanding on that area. But that's kind of, we still offer courses, but we're putting a lot of the focus on the membership side, because those are the folks that are like, hey, I'm going to be training on a regular basis. This is something I want to learn and be
Yeah.
prepared for. It's like, cool, you're kind of the person that we want to focus on. We are still offering courses, but yeah, the memberships are a big
And
portion of it.
people will pay for they'll pay for gym memberships. I think this kind of falls in line with the same idea. And it's weird because you'll get guys that are like, I'm not paying for that. And it's like, okay, well, okay, let me put this in perspective for you. Like, where else are you going to go to learn this and train this with access to resources? Like, specifically, we've been very fortunate here. We found a laser tag place they were able to practice in. But here, there, I mean, with every positive comes a negative, right? So, and this isn't to throw shade at the facility is built for laser tag. We just get to use it in the off hours for our purposes. And they've hosted some classes, but like your shoot house is probably built to stay like residential standards. Where we practice, there's no doors. So, but there's supposed to be inserts coming to get, doors added. And then those doorways that are there are not your like 28 to 36 inch typical residential sizes. They're built for ADA compliance. So like 4 feet. And it's like, all right, dude, anybody can get through this door. Like you got, big ass back panel on your carrier, you got an 18-inch rifle, you're still getting in there without a problem. I remember a buddy and I went to a charity event in Pennsylvania at Ben Franklin Range.
Oh,
Fantastic
nice.
facility, two-story shoot house.
I would love to get out there one of these days.
They have actual like residential size doors. And he's a great dude. He tried really hard. He still walked away with a ton of stuff from the class. But man, I remember one time he went through one of the doors and he took off like this huge chunk of like plaster off the wall because he just going a step through and goes to, shove the rifle out. And pretty sure it was his flash hider just like broke off a piece of the door frame. I'm like, dude, the hell is what is going on?
I mean,
And
we've got all of our door frames are ripped up, right? Because we have people from all sorts of backgrounds coming in there, and they're bringing weapons through. You just see muzzle strikes on the door frames. It's wild.
I mean, that's why the membership costs money. Like maintenance is a th maintenance is a
is
thing.
the thing. Well, and honestly, yeah, like we are cheaper than some gym memberships. That's the thing. It's wild. If you have like a solo membership, right now the one in our facility in Van Alstine, it's $75 a month, and we, not everybody's accepted as a member either. It's like, we're not just accepting everybody. We're vetting people. These are people we've trained with, we've vetted, we've background checked. We've personally gone and made sure they're going to be safe. And then you've got access. You've got, key to the facility, and we've got a group chat, and the guys all the time is like, hey, who wants to go out on this day and train? And they're like, ah, raising hands. I will. And then you've got a team to go train with. So, I was just on a group chat earlier with like another, tactical, I guess, group that I don't know personally, but I know one of the guys in it. And they were talking about like airsoft facilities, and like the daily rental is, 15, 20 bucks a day or something like that. And it's, I mean, how many times would you go, if you had
Yeah.
access to it? And I mean, it's already paid for itself,
If you're doing
so.
more than, 3 times a month,
Yeah.
then that price makes up the difference there. Yeah.
And just the ease of access too, right? There's a lot of things that we're trying to experiment with it, and there's a lot of things we're going to like upgrade, right? Like we're currently trying to get lockers for all the members. So like if you have a membership with us, you've got a locker there. That way you can keep certain stuff. Obviously we will have access to all the lockers, but ideally, if you've got, tactical gear, shirts, pants, all that kind of stuff, or if you've got like a Glock trainer that you want to just keep in there, cool. Whatever kind of small gear items, that's kind of where they'll store them and things. But yeah, we're trying to build up amenities and build up value and keep costs low, and make it a good resource for good quality people to come and band together. Because in reality, we've got a lot of problems in this country, and we're building a roster of just like awesome dudes, and it's been a blessing from God to have, these guys kind of come forth and show interest in this and believe in it. So it's been pretty
It's
cool.
way more common than I think people think and assume. It's difficult to network in the areas, and I know this firsthand because I've been running the podcast here for about 5 years, and every 3 to 6 months I'll find somebody who's less than 10 minutes away from me, and I had no idea they were there. And I've been I put out posts and comment on some of the strings from some of the larger influencers where it's like, oh, drop your area and region and here network and connect with folks. And it's like, how am I still finding people that are passionate about this stuff? They're interested in doing it, and I had no idea you were here. And I mean, obviously the social media being stifled the way it is not ideal. But it's something I think that the cultural piece behind it, the normal, like making this a normal thing for people, like. For years in a lot of places in the country, right, you have a membership to the gun club, but that was, oh, that's just trap shooting. Like, why does it have to just be that? Why shouldn't you learn how to do things like this? I why not? It's
It's become
the same as
taboo,
anything else.
right? And it's
To an
become taboo
extent.
because people just don't, I mean, yeah, a lot of people don't like to see, kit on, and oh, you'll never use that anyway. It's like, okay, cool. Then like leave me alone anyway. If I'm never going to use this, then if I'm just LARPing, let's just say
Then you
that.
shouldn't have a problem with it. I mean, do
Yeah,
you go
then
to
who
Comic-Con and
cares? Yeah.
the furry conventions where people dress up and shit? Like, do you have a problem with that? No? Well,
Many
okay.
people have whatever their personal reason is, it doesn't matter. I would rather have somebody know that and not need it than need it. Like there's lots of situations that we're going to get into in our country's history in the near future that are inevitable that are going to need qualified, prepared people that are not law enforcement or military, and whether people want to acknowledge that or not, it's just a fact. There's a lot of danger in the world. We see it in Ukraine. We see it in Israel. We see it in other countries that aren't even on the news that are going through, South Africa's going through, a genocide. Lots of areas that if more people were prepared and capable, there would be a lot less death and violence and destruction. And even then, death, violence and destruction is going to come. It's just, survive.
I mean, mitigation to an extent. I mean, and it's wild that people don't realize like this is a perishable skill, all of this, whether it's shooting on the flat range, again, structure clearance, land navigation, small unit tactics, precision shooting, comms, right? All of that stuff, medical. This is all stuff that if you don't use it, like you're not going to be able to recall that at a moment of great stress and dire need. So yeah, I mean, just like going to the gym where you flex a muscle, you build up your body, your skill sets and your capability have to be treated the same way. And it's kind of funny that it took so long for the community to get to the point where we're at now, where it's like, hey, physical fitness is just an extension of that. I wouldn't even call it an extension. It's just, it's part of the whole thing.
Yeah, it should be a prerequisite. I mean, it's a requirement, and if you can't operate, then there's no reason to train. Yes, train, but if you can't operate, man, there's a big problem there. You have a big issue, that you need to solve. There's
Yeah,
it sucks.
you have
Like,
to, it's a progression, right? Like, understand, like, yeah, you're not going to walk into this and then 2 months later just be ready to go, you
yep,
know? And I think
absolutely.
for a lot of folks, like, it's a several year thing, you know? But, and
Yeah,
it's
100%.
even when you get to that level, like a certain level of proficiency, I don't know what that is. Like, everyone's got their own metric for when you are, you know, quote unquote, good enough.
Yeah.
The people who are really invested and really understand the training doesn't end there. The refinement doesn't stop there. It's,
Never ends.
yeah, it's a constant growth and development, because we're always seeing new developments. We're finding either an advancement in technology that changes how the game is played, or new tactics, new concepts in how to clear a structure, or, you know, some whatever, right?
I mean, people in the GWAT era, right? A lot of this stuff was developed because of the GWAT era and going into buildings and things and learning how not to do it, right? With 22 inch barrels and all this kind of crap. And look at us now. We're back to trench warfare in Ukraine. And now there's drones implemented. Like, everything's going to evolve over time. Technology evolves, tactics evolve, people, places, things evolve. And your mindset needs to be able to evolve with those things. Your preparedness needs to be able to evolve with those things. And really, you've got goals and standards, and goals and standards are always rising, right? Your standards always a little higher than your goals. You should be pushing the envelope at every point in your life, every aspect. So, yeah, it's huge. I mean, people really discount survival, man. It's like just because we live in the best country in the world does not mean you've got 100%, chance at survival. It's just not there.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's life, that's the world, and all of this, all of what we're talking about here, like, it's not predetermined, or there's not a prerequisite that you have to have, just to come back to it, military service for this to be important to you, for you to be capable of doing these things. And sadly, in a lot of instances, you see a ton of law enforcement, especially guys who've been out there for decades, right, that don't subscribe to this kind of a mindset, and this growth mentality of developing themselves and constant refinement. And to a large extent, also military. People don't realize it's like 2% of the military is actually combat oriented. Like, my father-in-law, he was in the Navy. He worked in HVAC. That's not a dig. They need people to do that stuff. But, like, was he combat effective? I would say probably not. And
There's guys that come out of the military don't know how to reload a rifle. Like, there's
yeah.
there it, the military doesn't teach you inherently good tactics, and ways of doing things, whether that's on the flat range or in a house or a structure. There's a lot of guys that we deal with, a lot of guys that are prior military that come out, and we're like, how do you not know this? And obviously they just weren't taught, or they haven't, like you said, right? They haven't kept up with it. They're 5 years out, 10 years out, and they haven't picked up a gun since, right? So, there's a lot of different factors that play into it. And I think, we're a big faith-based company, and we let God guide our organization to where we need to go. And we try to play with some grace. And one of the reasons why Christ was such a good teacher is he understood who he's teaching, right? And we need to be able to figure out who we're teaching, the individual we're teaching, so that we can better teach that person, get to know them on a personal level, and understand their background is imperative, especially for us. So.
Yeah, I mean, and on the student side too, you know, I think it's probably driven a lot by how vicious social media can be sometimes. But I think from a student perspective, give yourself some grace with some understanding and how long it's going to take you to pick these things up, or even that you can. Like, give
Yeah.
yourself the opportunity to try and learn. I think that we still, even with everything that's going, you have people popularizing a lot of this. People are afraid to come out and say that they want to learn it, to pursue it, to talk to their family members, their spouse, and go, hey, I know this seems weird, but I really do think that this is something I need to do. Like give and yes, you're probably gonna suck at this for a little while or a long while. Like I sucked like for like several years at shooting before I started figuring some shit out. No. Granted, I was one of them dumbasses that was like, I can just figure this out on my own. I'll just do it a lot until I learn. And to some extent, that's kind of how it went. But then I actually like sought professional help. And like, it's crazy. You go learn from somebody who's got the experience, not only at doing the thing, but at teaching it, because you don't, that's one of the biggest misconceptions, right? Is you have to be some super tier one level individual to be a good teacher. And that's not true at all. I mean, it could be true. Communication in and of itself is a skill set,
And
completely separate from all the tactical stuff.
no,
So,
you're 100% right, because we've seen, I mean, we have guys that have all the knowledge in their head but can't relay that to the person, the individual,
they
right? If
only
you
learned
can't,
it one way and they only know one way to, and if that
or they
doesn't work
just
for you, it's not a
look,
help.
there's a lot of people that went through the military that have, you have a pretty rough way of introducing tactics and teaching to people in the
Yeah.
military. You can't bring that back out and teach the same civilian the same way, because they're not going to understand it. There's And it's also a different place, right? You're not sending these guys into war. You're sending these guys to go be prepared for their family, to protect their family in some cases. So like the reasons and are change, right? And your teaching method has to change. You have to be able to talk about this stuff in a more likable manner, or relayed, manner. They're just not gonna understand it if you just come right out of the military. We've got guys that are SEALs and like tier one guys that we've watched try to train, and we're like, man, if you just change that one word here, you tweak this there, like it's gonna just blow people's mind at how much more they'll understand. And in some cases, we do that with each other too. We'll be in the shoot house, we'll be training, and we'll have two of us, one's demoing, one's talking about it, and then somebody else will be like, hey, hold on, another way of looking at this would be this, and they're like, oh, like different people understand it differently, and it just light bulb goes on.
Yeah, I mean that's a consideration. That's as people, if you're somebody who wants to be an instructor for whatever, like I did, I taught music for 20 years. I
Oh,
taught
nice.
marching band and stuff with high schoolers. So not like, I mean their brains are still developing, but it taught me a hell of a lot on. Like you understand things one way, maybe two ways, because those are the one or two ways it was taught to you. But it's a real challenge for yourself if you have to then look at somebody who goes, I still don't get it. And that's why, like, I see it all the time with kids that are like fresh out of high school or college, and they do one or two ways, and then it still sucks, and they go straight to getting frustrated and they yell. And it's like, okay, now there's a time for that. If you just did it great 5 times in a row, 10 times in a row, 20 times in a row, and then you just did it like shit, okay, maybe, yeah, like what the F's wrong with you? Why are you doing it this way? Like, but that can't be the default answer to the first 2 times not working. Or we'll think of it this way. Or maybe that person just needs one-on-one help so they can, and this is where it comes in too, as a student, I think, like, and again, good teachers welcome questions. They welcome you to pick apart what they're doing because they want to make sure you understand. And people who really know the material, again, regardless of background, will be able to explain that to you. They'll be able to, hey, I get it. You saw your favorite Instagram celebrity doing it this way. We teach it this way because of this. Maybe and that's one of the things I like about what Orion does too. They don't go down a ton of rabbit holes, but they'll at least say, hey, you guys have seen stuff that looks like this. It's because that person was in the Navy and they're on ships all the time, so they work under these conditions. We're teaching you this because
There's a why
there's
behind it.
context. Yeah, there's a level of understanding there, and it's like, oh, okay, light bulb. Now I understand why we're not, doing super compressed stuff with the rifle
Well, and
or
that brings
whatever.
up a whole new way of thinking of this too, is like the fact that a lot of people will train, or a lot of companies will train, and this is the way to do it, this is the way to do it, this is the way to do it, but they'll never explain the why behind it, right? If you can't explain the why behind it, nobody's going to understand, right? And because what's in your mind is completely different than what they're thinking about. Their situation, they're thinking about it completely different, building, structure, area, family, whatever. All the situations are different in their head than what you're processing in yours. So being able to make it relatable and have them walk through it too is like, hey, what would you do in this situation? And have them think about it, have them question, well, maybe this. It's like, well, what about this? It's like, oh, okay, well, yeah, then I'm dead. Okay,
Yeah.
Now we're putting puzzle pieces together and we're making a picture. Now you're able to see the process, the way of thinking, right? Because a lot of this is just a way of training your mind on how to think, right? When we walk outside,
Yes,
outside of a
100%.
building, yeah, if we're down in a bad area, sketchy area of town, your senses are heightened, right? When you're in a certain dangerous situation, hiking, or there's bears nearby or whatever, you're on alert, right? There's different ways that you're going to be able to move your way of thinking, so that you are more prepared and that you notice this stuff faster and you start picking up on these things. That's really the sweet spot to be and to take these people in training, is putting them in that element of, hey, like, what should you be thinking about? Because like we said, every situation is going to be different and you're going to have to dictate your tactic based off of it. So, no one way to do it. No one way to do
Yeah,
it.
and it may take a couple classes for it to sink in to the
Yeah.
point of what you're talking about, where you can sit there as an instructor and go, all right, why did you do that?
Yeah.
Walk me through it. Just like not justify it, but explain to me why you made the choices you did when. And sometimes it's just like, well, I don't, I mean, with new students, they do it 5, 6 times in a row, and eventually they start gaming that drill and things. And as a teacher, that's when it's like, all right, well, we're gonna change this up a little bit. We're gonna do it different, or we're gonna put you a different order in the stack, or we're gonna go do something else, and then we'll come back to this. That's the frustrating part as a student. You're like, I just did this great 3 hours ago, and now we spent 3 hours working on something else, and now I suck again. And it's like, yeah, this is a lot of information. Again, nobody said it's gonna be easy, and you ain't gonna be great right off the rip, at least most people aren't. But that's part of the progression. That's part of the deal. That's why you do it.
Yeah, and we try to put people, we try to give, especially in the basics, right? If we do basic CQB, we're putting all the basics in their head, why we do these things, how you need to process the building, how you need to process each room and stuff like that. And then at the end of the course for the day, it's like, all right, we're gonna we here's the scenario, and now we're playing loud, screamo music, or we have, people talking in Spanish in the background, or whatever it is. We pop that up on the speakers and let you roll. And when we get into like force and force scenarios, things change, and then you even as an instructor could go, oh, hey, like he processed it, and like you said, hey, why'd you process it like that? Take me through your thinking. And sometimes the student will take you through their way of thinking, and you're like, well, that actually makes sense. I didn't look at it like that, right? Like I didn't look at it like that, but hey, there's something there, right? Because when you present a problem, you could present it to 10 people, and they could react exactly how you expect them to react, and then that 11th person reacts a completely different way, but it's not wrong. You're just like,
It's different.
okay, that's a different way of looking at it. What if that happens? So yeah, it's a very, case by case,
Yeah, I
basis.
mean, build a more flexible mindset for your student. I mean, I think the assumption that a lot of people get as a student is when the instructor goes, "Why did you do that?" It's like, "Oh, you did something wrong."
Exactly.
No, I mean, tell me why you did that. Fill me in. Help me fill the blanks here and understand why you did that. And it serves two purposes, like you just said. Like, hey, now the instructor has at least an understanding of what you're thinking. Maybe that's a different way of doing it. But then also, as a student, you have to actually repeat that back out and articulate that and walk through it. And then maybe half the way through it, you're like, well, shit, I probably shouldn't have done that. But here, I'll walk you through the rest of it. And it becomes like it's way more mental with so much of
Well,
this stuff.
yeah, and you become like, if you're training an individual, you have to also understand that, like, if they're trying to become an expert at this, or they're trying to become proficient, like you become an expert or proficient by doing all the steps up to training, right? So, you do it, you write it, you speak it, you talk about it, and then you train it, right? Like sometimes you can have other members in there and be like, hey, you've been here for four or five courses, go train this with so and so. And like it could be a portion where they go and train that. Like that's also beneficial for the person, the member who's training, because now they're learning. That's a process of knowledge that they're putting back into their mind, and they're operating that through, I don't know. There's a certain pyramid of like learning, and I don't remember exactly what it's called, but being able to actually train it or teach it is very imperative, and that's one of the ways that you'll retain it the best, is if you're able to train it, you'll retain that knowledge a lot better. So if you have one of your own members, go train it. They're going to remember that a lot longer than somebody that you're just like, hey, this is how we do it, and then you leave it at that, So.
Yeah, if you ask them to, yeah, say it back to me, you have to think through it, or just present them with a scenario or something and go, here, explain how we would do this. And sometimes, hey, okay, maybe you're not ready. Here, we'll talk you through it. We'll show you the right way. Do it again. But it's all part of that learning process, and building a stronger individual at the end of the day.
Because we're, I mean, if the goal is to make people more prepared, you have to take them through the finish line. You can't just take them through the basics. So, ideally, you want to be able to take them all the way through, right? And the finish line, again, never stays the finish line. You finish one race and you're on to the next,
Always
right? So,
moving.
always moving. Your standard's always growing and raising. But, if they've got goals, if we have members that have goals, we understand these are their goals. We want to be able to push them through that finish line, the best that we can, give them the tools to do that. It's just kind of our way of doing things.
Yeah, no, it's tremendous, man. And listen, I know we're kind of coming up on it. So I mean, I appreciate the time. This has been
Absolutely.
fantastic. Great discussion, man. If people are in the area and they want to make the trip out, they want to find any, it sounds like you guys have multiple locations and things. Where can people reach you? What's the website? I think you guys have a site and at least an Instagram. I know that.
Yeah, so Instagram is Checkmate Group Ops, and then our website's checkmate-group.com, and yeah, you can reach out there, or fill out a form or DM us on Instagram, anything like that. And yeah, if you're in the area, let us know. And we're open enrollment memberships to all the shoot houses, and ideally, we'll be growing those across the U.S. strategically. And if you have membership to one of them, you have a membership to all of them. There's going to be different membership tiers, levels, things like that. As we grow, things are going to change and evolve. But for the most part, everything's on the website right now. So,
Awesome. Dude, I
yeah.
appreciate the time. I love hearing about it. I think what you guys are doing is different than what we're seeing in most of the community. I think it's outstanding stuff.
Thanks, brother.
So I
Appreciate you.
look forward to following up in the future and connecting with you again, man.
Thanks. We're really blessed, and we've had an awesome group of support members down here. So we're only growing and getting better. So we hope to add more value and find and connect with new people. So appreciate you having me on. It's been a blast.
Absolutely, man. I've loved it. Absolutely. We'll be in touch for sure, and stay safe, man.
Sounds good. Appreciate you.
Great discussion, you guys. So what I love about that is that, as somebody like myself who is a civilian who's never served, right? Always very upfront about that, very proud of who I am as a person and everything in that regard. To be able to have the discussion with somebody who is extremely like-minded from a very similar background. A lot of get, we've had some terrific guests on, right? Who have tremendous histories and backgrounds and experiences in the military and law enforcement. They do fantastic things in teaching people the lessons that they learn themselves and are trying to make the world a better, safer place with all of that. And it's that's fantastic. But I think what we need to talk about even more than we already do is that as a passionate and prepared individual, you have a voice in this community. And I know that that's like, well, yeah, duh. I mean, I have the internet. I can say what I want. No, I mean that you can be knowledgeable and be a voice in the discussion. Yeah, you may not have the same resume. Your life experiences may be more limited, but they're going to be different. And, I think it's still really, really, really worthwhile to sit down and have these discussions with people. Why not hear what somebody else has to say? Hear their insight. They may think about things in a completely different way than you do, and it may yield some tremendous growth and change in yourself. If you run a training company, hearing what somebody has to say, like those are always opportunities to hear another perspective, and it's an opportunity for growth. And I think that certainly Forrest being tied in with Checkmate Group and what they do is a tremendous example of that. And it sounds like the work they're doing, I mean, is just fantastic, you guys. Like, how many of you would be interested in having a facility like what we were talking about there near you, where you can pay a monthly fee like a gym? You have access to the facilities when you want, you have a key, but then in addition to that, you also have an access to a community, a network of people that you can say, hey, you want to go work on some stuff? You want to go train? You want to go do this? And it's like, it's that instant access to a tribe, right? That thing that people are chasing so often, a training group, a group of peers, like-minded individuals, like where you can go work on this stuff. and really get better and develop yourself, because those people are there for the exact same reasons you are. They want to practice those skills. They want to be physically capable, physically fit, mentally tough enough to, in the moment where they may need it the most, right, be able to perform in a way that is going to save lives, change the course of the day, right? I think it's fantastic. I think it's so, so cool. And, you know, I know, I believe Orion Training Group does offer something similar, and they're tremendous supporters of ours. I'd be remiss if I didn't point that out for those of you guys living in the Louisiana area that don't know. They have a very similar setup. But what's really cool with the work that Checkmate's doing, with the work that Orion does, right, is the sharing of the information, the tactics, and the capability, and the skill set, and the thinking, and all of it just rolled up together is so, so awesome. I think that the standardization and the normalcy behind people knowing this only makes us all as a community better. I think it's outstanding. I don't even know how many times I use the word outstanding. Maybe, I don't know. I'll stop. I'll commit to that for the rest of this episode. But it's so cool. Like, I remember watching videos of, you know, some of these guys online, right? The list is endless, right? Or even just movies, right? Growing up and wanting to know how to do that stuff. And that's, you know, it's fast, it's exciting, it's sexy, right? And that's the thing you want to learn. And then for years, we had people telling us, you can't learn how to do that because you're a civilian. You'll never need to know how to do that. It's not a need. Like, do I need half the stuff I have? Probably not. If we're going based off of need alone, I may never need a firearm in my life. But that's maybe. I may not ever need that. And I'm not training for the best case scenario. We all train and prepare for the worst case scenario so that when that arrives, we're better enabled and better equipped to mitigate that situation, to survive. And I think that the more of these barriers that we're successful as a community, it's not just a small group of us. Like, there's a lot of people. But as a community, the more of these barriers we're able to knock down and access this information, access this kind of training, and promote good training, good learning, a better, more capable community, we're going to only be better for it. And it's not saying that this is the way you have to do things. I'm just saying that this is every bit as correct and every bit as right as going out and learning small unit tactics, as learning marksmanship on the range, as learning to draw from concealment. Guys can make any kind of argument that they want. They can if and but it to death. Oh, well, you're 10 times more likely to have to draw your firearm in self-defense from concealment. That could be true. The potential certainly is there. But as we've seen in the media in the last several years, there's a constantly increasing potential that the situation will have already escalated by the time it gets to you, and concealment won't make a bit of difference. Either could be true. Again, we don't prepare for what might happen. We do technically, but we prepare ourselves based off of what we believe to be a possibility, a potential. And then, of course, there's also what our own personal passions and desires are. And there's nothing wrong with that, you guys. I thought it was a tremendous discussion. Super thrilled to be able to connect with Forrest. I do have family down in the Texas area, in the Houston area more specifically. And I definitely want to go look them up the next time I'm in Texas, along with a couple other key friends, you know, that are down there. It's crazy how large Texas is. They're talking about trying to expand multiple locations in the state. And Texas is like, if you guys actually look at it on a map, it is massive. When you talk about going from like Dallas to Houston, that's like a 4-hour car ride. 4 hours basically covers the entire state of Michigan, and it doesn't even begin to get to halfway on Texas. So massive, massive state. Obviously, they love their guns down there. Tremendous opportunity, right, for them to step in and really offer training and have a positive impact to the community, not just with the training, but with the club membership and the access to the facilities. And it's so cool that we're seeing more places build these dry fire type shoot houses where people, for, you know, whether it's a monthly cost, whatever have you, can come in, they can use these facilities, they can train together. And yes, there's a responsible vetting process tied to it. Like, it's fantastic that we're finding new and creative ways as a culture, as a community, right, the 2A community, to address these problems and teach each other how to be better and safer. So hopefully this gave you guys some ideas, or maybe if you want to bring one of their locations to your town because they kind of have like a blueprint for how to do it or something, you can reach out to them and pitch it. As long as you got enough people there that want to pay for it, that's usually one of the biggest hurdles. It'd be really cool to see them start expanding out of like the state of Texas and into other areas. But I hope you guys enjoyed it. Seriously, reach out to them on Instagram if you have questions, or if you're in the area and you want to look them up. Sounds like a very, very cool opportunity, and certainly something that I hope that, you know, they're successful with. So thank you guys so much for checking this episode out, hearing about the story, hearing about the passion, the drive, the culture behind all of it. If you guys enjoyed this, make sure you hit that subscribe button. Every bit of subscription, every bit of, you know, positive feedback, the ratings, all that stuff, you know, give us 5 stars, drop a comment, send us a message. All that stuff helps us a lot in building traction, growing the audience on whatever platform you're on. All of it's really, really good stuff. Thank you guys. I hope you enjoyed it, and tune in to our next episode, because that's gonna be a really, really special one as we hit number 300 and we roll into, you know, the future, the rest of 2025. So until next time, you guys stay safe out there. And like we always say here, work hard, train smarter, and be prepared.